Sahanavavatu, sahanabhunaktu, sahavirayankaravavahai, tejasvinavadhikamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Page 61. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. The word shastra refers to that which controls our activities. We cannot violate or transgress the laws and regulative principles mentioned in the shastras. Bhagavad Gita repeatedly confirms this. Tasmach chashtram pramanam te karya karya vyavastitao yadva shastra vidhanoktam karma karatum ihar hasi. One should understand that what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. One should act according to the direction of the shastra, but the material energy is so powerful that as soon as one becomes materially opulent, he begins to transgress the shastric laws. As soon as one transgresses the laws of shastra, he immediately enters upon the path of destruction. Right? So Prabhupada's very clear here, you know, going by what Narad Muni says, that one has to follow the what shastra says. But the problem is the shastra regulates the senses. And because of that, that's why we will consider the shastra doesn't apply. Right? Does this make sense? Yes.
On one level, it's easier to live according to shastra, because everything is already there, we don't have to speculate.
Yes, yes.
We see practically people can't really follow, they're not interested, or even if they are, it's somehow, what is the difficulty?
The difficulty is that in regulating the senses, it's something different than we're used to. Right? That's all. Because let's say, for example, we're caught, you know, on the train, something, or it stops, we get stuck in the station, the train's not going to move for 2 days. We're stuck there on the platform of the station. Okay? Now, are we going to be taking 2 baths a day? Good chance, no. But the people who actually live on that platform station are doing that. You understand? So it's not the situation that causes, it's what we're used to. So if you grow up in an environment where taking bath once a week is standard, then taking bath every day then becomes a little difficult. You know, or 2 times a day, or, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. If you're used to something, eating it, like let's say your family has, you know, in the morning everyone comes together, they take breakfast, then they go off to work and school and all that, and then the evening they all come together, you know, dress properly, sit at the table, you know, and eat together and all that. Then sitting with the devotees, sitting in the line, eating, all these things are easy. But it's a matter, everyone does their own thing, eats what they want, when they want, how they want, where they want. Then all these regulations become difficult. Right? So like you said, if you follow the regulations, they're much easier because of the mode of goodness. It always gives a better result. But since we're not used to the mode of goodness, then we either can't appreciate it because things in the mode of goodness are bitter in the beginning and sweet at the end. Well, passion is sweet in the beginning, bitter at the end. So we're used to, as soon as it gets bitter, move to the next thing that'll create the sweetness. So we're constantly jumping, trying to keep that sweetness. Well, the followers of the Vedic path, then they stick to it, and it may be bitter in the beginning, but then it becomes sweet, and it's sweet for the rest of the time. Right? So it's just a matter of getting used to it. It is different, but the point is it's something that's doable. That's why the Shastras give it. It's the humans can follow it. That's the whole thing. Humans can follow it. That's the point. You know, so it's not that it can't be done. It's just we're not used to it. That's why it's a problem. So because it's regulating, that's what we're throwing out from scriptures. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the point. That's why you see sometimes devotees will choose things from the scriptures and are very strong on that because it matches their mentality. But then other things say, oh, we're not controlled by these. But then what about this? No, but that's, you know, that's obvious because my condition, I would be saying that anyway, even the Shastra didn't say it. But this thing, I wouldn't say it, you know, but the Shastra does say it, therefore it's not so important. So it's just a matter of time, association, and then one starts to adjust these things. You know. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes?
But one can make that that step from the previous kind of life.
Yes, you can.
It's a decision. It's just got to be conscious.
It's a decision that you do, but then you have to be determined to stay with it.
Yes.
Because as the, you know, we in a certain situation will be determined to follow, but as things change, then how we'll respond, we have to maintain that determination. In other words, we'll fall back into our, what is it, ever is our natural.
And that's the association. Right?
That's why association is good.
Because
Maya knows the trick. It's just like there was that, I think it was, I'm not sure who was, but maybe it was Gopal, no, Tenali Ram, I think it was. This, into the court, Krishna Deva Rai, came this pundit. But how he was dressed and how he talked, no one could figure out where he's from. And because it's not an uncommon thing between, you know, with the kings and all that, because there's so much ego and stuff like that, you know, especially in this time, in the Mughal time, then, you know, he puts a challenge that to the king that no one in this court will be able to can tell where I'm from. Like that. So different persons who know different, you know, aspects or languages or that will ask him questions and or talk in different languages, and he'll talk perfectly in that language as if he was a local resident. So they're going on and all this, and no one can figure it out. And so then the person takes, you know, his leave, and okay, he'll come in the morning and see if they can try again. So he's having a great time. So the king's worried, and the other ministers, you know, like this is going to look bad. We can't even figure out where the guy's from, you know. Supposed to run a country, you can't figure out where the guy's from. So then they wonder what to do, and Tenali Ram says, okay, here's what we do. He says, when someone's doing that, he's very intelligent, so he's aware, he's conscious and all that, so he's doing all this. He says, but if we scare him, he's going to talk in his natural language in his own style. So therefore they all set up, and because he was going, you know, at night and all that, he's going up. And so at some point, whenever it was, maybe the morning bat or something, where it's dark, he's not familiar with the place, they hide in the bush, they work out something to scare him. So then immediately he starts talking in his own, you know, he responds in his own language, but he doesn't know anybody's there or something, so they don't know it's them. And then he sees, okay, and then he goes on. So then the next day when he comes into court, so he says, so have you figured out where I was from? And then somebody announces exactly where he's from. And he's so shocked and all this and that, so then he leaves the court and that, and then the, you know, the prestige is maintained. So, yeah. So like that, Maya knows this trick. So as the situation changes, then you fall back into your own habits. So if everything's going really good, she'll just change one little thing and then throws everything off. So you determine, you're focused, then you can, you know, keep it going. Yeah?
Well, at the Brisbane Temple, there was a cockatoo that chanted Hare Krishna, but if you scared it, it wouldn't chant.
That's funny.
Similar principle.
Yes. But think of all the agyata sukriti this bird's getting. Because he's chanting, what offense can he be committing? You know? So immediately he's going from the offensive chanting into pure chanting. You know, because he's just chanting to chant, you know, or at least Namabhas, you know, clearing stage. So then all the chanting he does, next life he'll be, you know, a devotee who will be very interested in chanting.
Animals may not be able to understand the Shastra, but they can still perform devotional service.
Yeah, the dogs, you bring out prasad, they're very enthusiastic, you know. Very, you know, happy, very like this. So they'll get so much benefit. One devotee was telling me they were on traveling Sankirtan, and they were in this village, and they were parked, you know, in the vans and stuff like that. And this local guy had his little dog. He would come over and hang out and all that, and they'd feed it a little bit. So it came around. I guess they had cooked a whole bunch, and it was halava, and they fed it, and the dog loved the halava. So they kept feeding the halava and feeding the halava to the point where the dog couldn't even stand up. He's lying on his back, but they'll still give him, he'll eat and like that, you know. And then sometime a little bit later, then the neighbor comes and says, what do you do to my dog? You know, like that. You know, because I guess he got, you know, from eating so much halava, he got thirsty, he drank water, and he basically exploded. I said, what did you do with the dog? You know? And just fed him, you know, like that. So, like that. So then that means immediately, just he'll go, he'll, you know, take human birth. Like that. So Krishna arranged that he didn't even have to wait until the end of his dog's life. You
know? He'll get the opportunity to take more halava.
Yeah, then he can really put away halava. Then he knows how to drink water also. So. His situation will be improved. Okay, so that's the main thing, is that leaving the Shastra just because it's different from what we're used to. Then we can see here in two verses of Bhagavad Gita, it says you should not do that. 16:23 and 24. Yes.
Sorry, I just thought something about the previous point. So you're saying that if we follow Shastra and we stay determined, then we can, you know, keep following. But that seems a bit superficial to me. Like, doesn't actually the process of devotional service and chanting change what's there? Like, you know, it actually deep down purifies. So.
But then why ask the question in the first place? If it's said deep down, then you'd know what to do.
Yeah, so
see, in other words, you've asked the question on a level of superficiality where you're performing devotional service, you get distracted.
Yeah.
So we're saying you just keep at it, cause, and all we're pointing out is then we can say, why do I get distracted? I'm chanting. Why isn't everything perfect? Right? Because religion means I perform the activity, I get the result.
Mm-hmm.
But that's karma. Here, if you please Krishna, you get the result.
Yeah.
So staying focused on it, then you move forward.
Yeah.
Right? So then we're saying, don't be inspired, don't get disenchanted because it doesn't always work. But you keep at it and it will develop.
Yeah, into something solid.
So, you understand? So why would this question come up?
Because before...
In other words, is Haridas Thakur asking this question? Yes. So therefore, you're asking because you're on that platform that it's not as fixed as you would be comfortable with. So what's the problem in addressing that point at that level? Because otherwise, if we say, you know, if the level is addressed at a more advanced stage, what will you do with it? You understand? You're asking the question for yourself.
Some parts is yes, and some parts no.
So what's the no for? Who is it for?
Well, some parts I feel I have changed, and some parts I'm in trouble. So it's not.
See, there's a saying in English: if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't wear it, don't worry about it. And if it does fit, take it. Don't try to. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Verses 21 to 29, the devatas receive assurance from Lord Vishnu. Narad Muni continued, everyone, including the rulers of the various planets, was extremely distressed because of the severe punishment inflicted upon them by Hiranyakashipu. Fearful and disturbed, unable to find any other shelter, they at last surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Right? So as devatas, they eventually will surrender. But it takes them a while. Right? That's the difference between the neophyte devotees and the pure devotees. The pure devotees, then, they are surrendered. The neophyte, as long as their material abilities work, they'll use them. But as soon as they stop working, they surrender to Krishna. That's why one finds as a neophyte, then much of the time things don't go the way you like, so that way then you get the opportunity to surrender. Like that. Yes.
But from the point of the Hiranyakashipu, previously, I mean, we see that when people, when big generals, they can't do something.
No. I just got a realization. No, it doesn't have anything. It means, we had a boy in the school, very intelligent, very thoughtful, but when you'd speak to him, if you didn't use the exact words that were going through his head, if you used a different word or a synonym, or a example that was doing the same thing but wasn't that example, he would say no. He'd say, you're thinking this. Let's say I said, you're thinking you want to go to the temple. But he'll say, no, I was not thinking I want to go to the temple. But he won't explain that in his mind he was thinking, the temple to go should I. You understand? And so I don't remember, I only remember one conversation in how many years? Maybe 10 years that he was in the school that he ever agreed that what I was saying was correct. Because it wasn't exactly what was in his words. He was really, really stuck on the words. But if you did say that, because one time I said something and he just sat there. And then hours and hours later he came to me and says, I couldn't think of any, and I didn't have an excuse. I couldn't think up any like that. So, yeah, you were right. Once. No, but it revealed a particular situation that I just experienced. Like that.
We see that when somebody conquers some other land, he usually, if it's a good ruler, he leaves the place to function.
Right.
So what was the point there, Hiranyakashipu? Just for fun?
Just basically just because he can, because he's a demon. That's the whole point. See, a good ruler will be functioning it, you know, from the platform of duty, but for him he wants to turn duty upside down like that, because then it's just you can do it, you know. It's just like there was this guy, they asked him, he had put a jet engine on a motorcycle, or a rocket engine on a motorcycle, you know, to set some speed record and all that, and it was crazy, it was so dangerous. But people asked, what made you inspired to do, why did you do this? And he simply looked at it and says, because you can. You understand? So that's the demoniac mentality. Is you just, because you can do it, you do it. Is there a need to do it? The kid's walking down the path. There's some birds on the side. Are the birds doing anything? No. Does he need to deal with the birds? No. Does he get any benefit? No. But he can wave his arms and the birds will fly off. So he can. So that's the whole thing, is that he does it just because he can. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, where those purified souls in the renounced order of life, the great saintly persons, go. And from which, having gone, they never return. Without sleep, fully... Is that a footnote? Without sleep, fully controlling their minds, and living only on the breath, the predominating deities of the various planets began worshipping Hrishikesh with this meditation. Srila Prabhupada comments, the two worlds, Tasyai, Kashchayai, are very significant. Everywhere, in every direction, in every heart, and in every atom, The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in his features as Brahman and Paramatma. Then what is the purpose of saying Tasyai Kasyai in that direction where Hari is situated? During Hiranyakashipu's time, his influence was everywhere, but he could not force his influence into the places where the Supreme Personality of Godhead had his pastimes. For example, on this earth there are such places as Vrindavan and Ayodhya, which are called dhams. In the dham, there is no influence from Kali Yuga or any demon. One takes shelter of such a dham, worship of the Lord becomes very easy, and resultant spiritual advancement quickly takes place. In fact, in India, one may still go to Vrindavan and similar places to achieve the results of spiritual activities quickly. Right? So he's saying about that place where you can go, where the Lord is. I mean, where that. So they're talking about those places where the Lord performs his pastimes in that. So then they're thinking like that. Because otherwise he's in the heart and everything. But because Hiranyakashipu was, you know, dealing this way. So in the dhams then, they're never affected by the outside. But if we're interested in being affected by the outside, then yoga maya, then there's a covering on the dham that she puts that you can see it as material. So therefore one can find, you know, a material experience while within the dham. But otherwise the dham is transcendental. It's not affected by these things. You know, that's why, you know, he said, morning, you know, say, come here, you know, safe, oh, but is it safe in Mayapur and this and that? You know, he was joking. But I've had so many devotees say that. And we're living here and everything's just the same as it always is. And nothing's changed. You know? So it just depends what you want, then the dham will reveal. So if you want Krishna consciousness, that's what we get. That work? Did we address your question or not? We did. Okay. We even went forward. Okay, because I couldn't remember. Okay. Narad Muni continued, then there appeared before them a transcendental sound vibration emanating from a personality not visible to material eyes. The voice was as grave as the cloud, sound of a cloud, and it was very encouraging, driving away all fear. The voice of the Lord vibrated as follows. O best of learned persons, do not fear. Right? Because so many people are learned. They study things, they know things. But the best of them means they know Krishna. So the demigods in this case, they're acting in a Krishna conscious way. Right? So that makes them the best of the learned. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers. For these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. 24 to 26. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Madarshanami. Oh, I see. I was trying to... Wow, what a long word, you know? Madarshanam indicates. Okay. Until you see me coming from the pillar, you will suffer. Yeah. No, so he's just revealing what... Because the point is, you know, they're getting absorbed, they're getting purified, because there's a good chance they weren't as absorbed in the Lord when they were in power as they are now. So because it's about being Krishna conscious, so this makes them Krishna conscious. Then there's the wonderful pastime that will unfold, the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, so many different things to happen. So it'll overall be beneficial to everybody. And in this way it'll also, you know, put the demons back into their proper place. The unembodied voice continued, when one is envious of the demigods, who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the Vedas, which gives all knowledge. Okay, one is envious of the demigods, okay, who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or of the Vedas, which give all knowledge, or the cows, Brahmins, Vaishnavas, and religious principles, and ultimately of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. When Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee, Pallad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemy. I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. Srila Prabhupada comments, a devotee does not create enmity with anyone, but if someone becomes his enemy, that person will be vanquished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite whatever benedictions he may have received from other sources. Hiranyakashipu was certainly enjoying the fruitful results of his austerities, but here the Lord says that as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, he would be ruined. One's longevity, opulence, beauty, education, whatever else one may possess as a result of pious activities, cannot protect one if he commits an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Despite whatever one possesses, if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he will be vanquished. So the demigods, therefore, in their position, and in their position, they're not so developed in their devotional service, right? And their pride and everything. So, therefore, things happen to them to make them Krishna conscious. But because they're devotees, ultimately that will be corrected. But you see, Prahlad Maharaj, being a pure devotee, he's always absorbed in the Lord in that, so offending him is a much greater. So that's why the demigods are seemingly offended, but, you know, it's going to take more time. But as soon as Prahlad is offended, then, at that point, then it will happen. So that way also then the demigods will appreciate Prahlad Maharaj's greater spiritual position and all that, and also that they themselves should also try to advance. Yeah. The great Saint Narada continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of everyone, thus reassured all the demigods living in the heavenly planets, they offered their respectful obeisances unto him and returned, confident that the demon Hiranyakashipu was now practically dead. Right? So he's come, he's reassured them, he's taken care, but it'll still take time. And we also see here he comes just as a voice, but the Prahlad Maharaj, he comes as in personally. Verses 30 to 46, the transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. In verses 30 to 46, Narad Muni describes the characteristics of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Hiranyakashipu, and describes how his father envied his own qualified son. Narad Muni continued, Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities, because he was an unalloyed devotee of the Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada comments, in one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Prahlad Maharaj's praise herein for having all good qualities because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a pure devotee who has no motives has all good qualities, material and spiritual. If one is spiritually advanced, being a staunch, liberal devotee of the Lord, all good qualities are manifest in his body. On the other hand, harav abhaktasya kuto mahan gunaha. If one is not a devotee, even if he has some materially good qualities, they have no value. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Right? So if one has materially good qualities but is not a devotee, they don't actually have a value because they're not going to save you from death. They're not going to save you from taking birth again. They're not going to save you from material calamity. Right? That's the difficulty. But if a devotee has those qualities, then he engages those in Krishna's service, then he gets all benefits. Make sense? Oh, it's been a while since you've all been in the smoke. So. Yeah, no, but after some time you get used to it. You know, take a few weeks. But.
We used to say that borrowed qualities. Can you?
Borrowed.
Yeah, remember we said?
Yes, because the point is they're the qualities of the universal form that are there that match the particular results of their activities that they've been performing. Right? And so, so they're not unique to them, they're not special to them. They're borrowed. You know, it's just like, let us say, I don't know what would be an example, but let's say we have this kind of kit, and it has different things that you can put together to say, you know, how you say, eyes, nose, mouth, this, that. But there's, you know, and there's a few of each. But there's different ones. So there's a variety of what kind of eyes, what kind of nose, okay, you know, like that you can have. The shape of face, you know, hair color, and all these different things, right? So now, everyone according to what they like, then they sit around and they take from there and they put together a face. Okay? Now, in their mind, it's a unique face, it's their face, it's face they like. Wow, you created such a nice face. But have they created? What's it made from? You know, and it's within that stock. So nothing's unique, nothing's individual. That's why we don't put that much focus on it. We deal with it, because it is this kind of combination. We deal with it like that. Right? You know, if it's an orange, then you can take it, slice it in half, and put it in a little machine and get juice. If it's a potato, you cut it in half, try that, it won't work. Right? But it's not that we cut up oranges and make a chance and throw them inside and all this kind of things like that, and then, you know, eat that with our burger. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Can you say that the materials, they have qualities, but they're connected only to the body?
Yes.
And the bodies, those are the qualities of the soul, actually.
Yes, yes. That's the whole point. Because the gross and subtle body, that's connected with the modes of nature. According to the soul's interest, they perform activities using the body. And so therefore the result is the transformation of the body that matches the activities they've done. Good activities, they get good results. Bad activities, they get bad. You know, it's just like, let's say, okay, you have the princess, and she's very beautiful, and she has all the, you know, expected Disney attributes. Right? Okay. So, technically, if we're just looking at the karma point, next lifetime, then what will she have? Right? She'll have beauty and good qualities. Okay? Now, let's just take, just adjust it a little bit into a more recent scenario. You have the head cheerleader. Okay? So she has the beauty that the princess has, but the qualities, you know, you don't even want to, yeah, you don't want to talk about it. So, therefore, and she harasses everybody else by her beauty, everybody else who's, you know, is not a beauty, they'll harass her. So next life, what's she going to become? Not beautiful. All that will be taken away because she's never used it in a pious way. So that's the whole, that's how it works. So something must have been done that it was there. So maybe previously she was nasty but didn't use the element of her beauty. So this lifetime she's nasty but still has the beauty. But then it'll adjust. Or you have somebody who's not very attractive and all that, but they're very nice and wonderful. You say they're a beautiful person. Next lifetime, they'll be very pious. Like that. So like you're saying, it's just connected with the gross and subtle body. So, and while when a devotee, by the hearing and chanting, starts to develop qualities, those are qualities of the soul. Those don't go away. They might become covered. Like we were saying this morning, you know, the example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The express train stops in very few places, you know, and the local train is not stopping there, so it's going by and saying, oh, look at the big train, and I'm, you know, going. But as soon as the big train starts, it's gone. So like that is that, yes, okay? So, okay. The qualities of Maharaj Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herewith. He was completely cultured as a qualified brahmana, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth, right? Because that's the quality of a brahmana. They want to know the absolute truth. He's born in a Kshatriya family. He follows Kshatriya duties. But because he's Vaishnav, he's topmost brahmana. So therefore the brahminical character is seen in him. He had full control of the senses and mind. Like the super soul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older God-brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. It doesn't end there. You know, for us, if we get one of those, we're doing good, but he has all those and so on. It just keeps going, right? Srila Prabhupada comments, these are some of the qualifications of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana because a Vaishnava has all the good qualities of a Brahmana. Samodhamastapaso cham, shantir arjamam eva cha, jnanam vijnanam astikyam, brahma karma subhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness, these are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Bhagavad Gita 18:42. These qualities are manifest in the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, a perfect Vaishnava is always a perfect Brahmana, as indicated here by the words Brahmanya Shila Sampanna. A Vaishnava is always determined to understand the Absolute Truth. And to understand the Absolute Truth, one needs to have full control over his senses and mind. Prahlad Maharaj possessed all these qualities. Vaishnava is always a well-wisher to everyone. The six Goswamis, for example, are described in this way, Dhira Dhira Janapriyao. They were popular with both the gentle and the ruffians. A Vaishnava must be equal to everyone, regardless of one's position. Right, so the gentlemen and the ruffians. The guys in between may or may not work. Right? And, you know, so they were wide range like that. So you can see is that if anybody did have problem, they were in between. The ones who would criticize the Goswamis and that, they weren't necessarily ruffians because they considered themselves advanced because they knew something, but at the same time they weren't a gentleman. You know, just like the smart Brahmin who then put all that Durga paraphernalia in front of Shiva's Thakur's door. Right? So he wasn't a ruffian because he was a Brahmin following all the rules, but he wasn't a gentleman because he was envious. He didn't behave properly. Does that make sense? So you only see some difficulties there. Those who are actually gentlemen, those who are actually ruffian, they will appreciate. They won't have any problem. Doesn't mean everybody can't, but the point is when it says that, that means they can deal with everybody. So from their point, they'll be there. And we see so many cases where, from these two groups, that they deal very nicely. And then the common person, he may be simple, but he's a gentleman, therefore he appreciates. So, a Vaishnava must be equal to everyone, regardless of one's position. Atmavat. A Vaishnava should be like Paramatma. Ishwaraf sama bhutanam. Hrid desh junatishtati. Paramatma does not hate anyone. Indeed, he is in the heart of a Brahmana, but he is also even in the heart of a pig. As the moon never refuses to distribute its pleasing rays, even to the home of a chandala, a Vaishnava never refused to act for everyone's welfare. Therefore, a Vaishnava is always obedient to the spiritual master, Arya. The word Arya refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. One who is deficient in knowledge cannot be called Arya. At the present, however, the word Arya is used to refer to those who are godless. This is the unfortunate situation in Kali Yuga. Like Arya Samaj. Like that. They're just straight up front atheists. Don't believe in deity worship anything. And then they claim that they're Aryans. But they're not. Right. Arya means you know the personality of Godhead. You understand the Shastra. That's Arya. The word guru refers to the spiritual master who initiates his disciple into advancement in the science of Krishna or Krishna consciousness, as stated by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Shri Bhagavan Mantro Pade Shake Gaurav It Yartha. Right. So the person was, I think, that I know was a Brahmin. And they were doing puja somewhere. I think they might have been a Shaivite or something. They're doing puja and all that. They're in the temple and all that. And they're doing worship, but they didn't have much faith. Then one day they're in there in the Shiva Linga, and this rat is crawling around on the Shiva Linga. so then he's thinking, well, if you know Shiva's God, then how can this rat be there and this and that? So then there must be no deities, there must be no God, there's no control. So therefore he started his own group, his own gathering, and they called themselves Aryans. But the whole point is it's saying here, Arya means one who follows the teacher. But he was rejecting the teacher, starting his own thing. So he wasn't following what the Shastra said, he was making his own thing up. He wasn't following Guru. Does that make sense? That's why all these things are important, because one's supposed to follow authority. That has to be there. Narad Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of Asuras, he himself was not an Asura but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other Asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruit of activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore was completely devoid of material desires. Right? Material means it's not connected to Krishna. So he's using something, it's not material because it's connected to Krishna. His father uses it, he's used it for his own sense gratification. That's material. So he's not interested in anything not being engaged in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So if facility are there, he uses that in Krishna's service. If nothing's there, then he sits and chants. So a materialist wants the facilities because of the sense gratification they can get from it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes?
We see in the case with Prahlad Maharaj, Arjuna doesn't match the karma. There's a difference in his case. And he's doing quite well in devotional service. He's very fixed. But in our case, when this happens, then we suffer the consequences.
Because the difference is, he's born in an Asuric family, he acts like a devotee.
Exactly.
But the point is we're born in that family, so the guna and karma match, so...
We're trying to be devotees.
That's I'm just saying, So it says, if it goes wrong, the guna and karma's fine. What's the problem? It's means here you'd have to say is he's Vaishnava and he performs the duties in that the guna and karma of the Kshatriya Dharma. Right? So he does that nicely. So there isn't a mismatch there. It's just a matter of he's born in the Asura family but he's not Asuric. That could be a difference. But as far as being Kshatriyas and performing the Kshatriya duties, he does that very nicely. In his own personal life he follows the Vaishnava Dharma, so he does that nicely. So then for him, there'll be no contradiction. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the key is the same. The key is this. He doesn't see anything materially. So if we don't see anything materially engaged in Krishna service, then we'll be on that same platform. The difficulty comes up as we see something, we think how we can gain from it or how we can benefit. So then we're dealing with the mundane. Then this question of guna and karma arises. But if you're seeing everything in connection to Krishna, then the question of guna and karma doesn't come up like that. You understand? So engaging our nature won't be a contradiction. Does that make sense? Say someone's a manager, so he manages for his own benefit, there'll be a contradiction with devotional service. But if he manages just to please Krishna, then there won't be any problem. It won't have a problem. Because we'll look at it as, I'm supposed to manage this, but I'd rather manage that and think that it's a problem. But the principle of management remains. It's just a matter of the state of purity of that management. Like that. So as we get purified, then we have less problem with the secondary aspect of our nature. Right? Because as it gets purified, then we can use it in its pure state, then it matches very nicely with the primary. Is that right? He always controlled his senses and life air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. Because the life air is what you move with that, you perform action with that. So the sense is controlled, and your actions are controlled using intelligence and determination, acting according to what's recommended in scriptures. Then you subdue all lusty desires, or all material consciousness. So that key is just, as he said before, doing everything connected to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada comments, from this verse we discover that a man is not qualified or disqualified simply by birth. Prahlad Maharaj was an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect brahmana. Brahmanya Shila Sampanna. Anyone can become a fully qualified brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. Right, so that's the point. Everybody can do it because that's the nature of the soul. Right, so we don't have to worry, oh, I'm from this background, that background, I can't do this. No, anybody, because the soul, that's the nature to do. It's not that the conditioning won't create a problem, but the point is we can do it. Because if there's going to be obstacles, that's also the nature of energy. Right? Otherwise, how do you get variety? Right? You have a big, long road, and it's perfectly straight and there's no traffic for days. It gets boring. Right. So therefore, there's variety. Okay, anybody can become a fully qualified brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. Narad Muni continued, O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by the learned saints and Vaishnavas, as all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They also exist forever in his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The great qualities of Lord, such as forbearance and inscrutability, are spiritual and situated in him naturally. Those qualities are glorified by persons with discrimination. These qualities are not fixed in the jiva, but are found in persons related to the Lord. Those qualities are perceived by the wise man's purified senses, starting with the mind. That is the meaning of saying that the qualities are glorified by the verse.
By the wise.
Oh, by the wise. Okay, that works better than the verse. Okay. Yes, where was verse? Where did that come from? Those qualities are explained to be eternal. These qualities have not been covered even now. Till this time they exist, uncovered by time or karma. Though all this time has passed, Prahlad remains with those qualities in Sutala, Vaikuntha, or Maha Vaikuntha. That is the meaning. Right? So, Prahlad Maharaj is manifesting these qualities millions and millions of years ago with Hiranyakashipu in this past time. But even today, he still has the same qualities. They haven't changed. Right, so when the devotee has these qualities, like the Lord, they're unchanging. Srila Prabhupada adds, from authoritative scripture it is learned that Prahlad Maharaj still lives in Vaikuntha Loka, as well as within this material world on the planet Sutala. This transcendental quality of being existing simultaneously in different places is another qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Goloka eva Goloka eva nivasat yakilatma bhuta. Brahma Samhita 537. The Lord appears in the core of everyone's heart, yet he exists on his own planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Devotee acquires qualities almost the same as those of the Lord because of unalloyed devotional service. Ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but a devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in full, but partially. Right? So, you know, he's just living in Vaikuntha and in Sutala at the same time, while the Lord is living in unlimited Vaikuntha planets and, you know, is in every atom between every atom. But the principle is the same. It's the quality of the Lord. So the quality of the Lord is there, so in that way you can say the devotee can be non-different from the Lord. So these great personalities, they're non-different from the Lord. It's like Narad Muni, Vladma, they're all have that quality. Right? But the volume of it will not be as great. But still, the quality is, that's why they can move with the Lord so nicely, because they have the same qualities. Right? How do you have friendship? Because there's common qualities.
Should we understand that all 26 qualities of Vaishnava are qualities of the Lord, and by pure devotion they become manifest in the living entity?
Yes, basically the same. I mean, there's 50 qualities that are potentially can be manifest in the jiva. But basically it's, so according to the modes, this ones here or there will be manifest and then they'll go away. But with the devotee, then their manifestation, then they'll remain. Okay. Did I say 50 or 64?
Is it 50?
Should have been 64. How did I come up with 50? That doesn't make sense. Oh, 50%. 50%.
Living in this camp, 50 out of the 64.
Yes, 50 out of the 64. Yes, that's what it is. Okay. Makes sense. Srila Prabhupada at, oh no, that we just...
Not 50.
That we just read, right?
I'm asking if there's not 50 qualities. How many qualities?
There's 64 qualities. The jiva can have 50 of them. And so that probably gives, what's that, 78% or something. Like that. And then it goes up. Yeah, I was just confusing the different number of things. And then I thought, said Krishna has 64 qualities, and I say he had 50. No, I was talking about jiva, so. Okay, I got worried.
Sure, Rupa Goswami says that Krishna has unlimited qualities.
Yes.
64 of them are prominent, at least.
Prominent, and then we can relate to it, right? Because if it's too many, you just can't. It's like that time when not sure what it was in connection to. I think it was Vishnu Sahasranam. Madhvacharya was giving definitions of each word, each name. So 1,000 names of Vishnu, so he went through and gave one definition. Then he went back and gave a different definition for all the ones. So like this, and so the disciples are writing it down and trying to understand it. When he got to 40, they just said, that's it, we can't handle it anymore.
40 times per...
Yeah, so he gave 40 different purports to each name of the 1,000 names. He could have given more, but that's all the disciples could handle. So, you know, that's the... So 64, we can relate to that. You know, so Krishna is 1,000,008 qualities, you know, so you know, it's just like, what do you do with that? The 64 you can, you know, relate to, absorb yourself in, appreciate them in the past times, like that.
Can you please remember?
Huh?
Can you please remember them?
You can actually, you know, yeah, there's a good chance you can remember them, yeah. Narad Muni continued, in any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhishthira, even the enemies of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you, would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee, who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities. Of Prahlad Maharaj, he had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. 35-36. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The number of qualities cannot be counted. Thus, who can say enough? Who else could be so excellent? Let others have good qualities, but the cause of Prahlad's qualities was something else. What was that? They speak well of his greatness. What was that greatness? He had natural attraction for Vasudev. Or another meaning is, the greatness of Prahlad, who had natural attraction for Vasudev, can only be slightly indicated, since it is possible to define fully. The next verse says, Krishna graha grihi tatma. He was as if haunted by Krishna. Some say Vasudeva means Nrsinga. Others say Vasudeva refers to Krishna, because in Prahlad's prayers in the Vishnu Purana, it is said, Avirbha bhuva bhagavan pitambara dharo harihi. The Lord wearing yellow cloth appeared. The next verse mentions Krishna also. Krishna graha grihitatma. And also it is said later, Govinda parirampita. Prahlad was embraced by Govinda. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.4.38. Others say that Prahlad first had attraction for Vasudeva and then later for Nrsinga when he appeared. It is mentioned in this verse that he had a natural attraction for Vasudeva. His attraction did not develop by sadhana over many births, as is the case with others. So, he's absorbed in the Lord. So he's pointing out, it says Vasudeva, so it's there. Some will say that means Nrsingadeva, but he's pointing out that because of his prayers, then you could understand it would be Vasudeva. Now, him being very, profoundly absorbed in the Lord, how Vasudeva came in the form of Nrsingadeva, and therefore then he was absorbed in him, then, that's fine. So but in any case, the point is he's always absorbed in the Lord. That's the main point. You're always absorbed in the Lord. That's what is the cause of all his great qualities. It's not coming from somewhere else. So, Nard Muni continued. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna's consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. His natural attraction is described in 6 verses. Though a boy, he gave up childish play. He was like a dull-witted person, since his mind was always concentrated on Krishna, which was not common to others. His mind was not attracted to Krishna like other devotees. Rather, his mind was completely overcome by Krishna, who was like an object of greed. Thus, he did not understand the world of material dealings. He understood only the world of Krishna. Because he's a child, he doesn't have to deal with it, so why would you even make that endeavor? But he couldn't understand why would people be interested in the material world and be absorbed themselves here. It just didn't make sense to him. Because the Krishna consciousness is so nice, you can absorb yourself so nicely, so why would anybody be absorbed in anything else? That was his.
So Prabhupada used the term that Krishna Chakravarti mentioned, Krishna Graha. Many people are concerned about being affected by this graha and that graha and the planets, but Prahlad Maharaj is affected by Krishna Graha.
Krishna Graha, yes, and you can see it's he's fully absorbed.
Not a mundane graha.
No, so if you're attracted to the mundane grahas, you won't want to be affected by this Krishna graha. Because all your mundanity will go away. Krishna graha. Srila Prabhupada adds, Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of a great person fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8.2.74, it is said, Stavara jangama de ke nadhe ke tara murti sarvatra hai nija ishta deva spurti. A fully Krishna conscious person, although situated in this material world, does not see anything but Krishna anywhere and everywhere. This is the sign of a Mahabhagavat. The Mahabhagavat sees Krishna everywhere because of his attitude of pure love for Krishna. So since he's only seeing Krishna, he doesn't see anything other than Krishna. Because it's all Krishna, it's all Krishna's energies, he only sees Krishna in it, so he only sees how to connect everything to Krishna. He doesn't see anything else. An exalted devotee or Mahatma, who is rarely to be seen, remains fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. It is sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu, or Ketu, he cannot make advancement in any prospective activity. It is just the opposite way. Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna, the supreme planet, and thus he could not think of the material world and live without Krishna consciousness. That is the sign of a Mahabhagavata. Even if one is an enemy of Krishna, a Mahabhagavata sees him to be also engaged in Krishna's service. Another crude example is that everything appears yellow to the jaundiced eye. Similarly, to a Mahabhagavata, everyone but himself appears to be engaged in Krishna's service. So he always just sees things in connection with Krishna. He doesn't see anything else. Right? And he'll see any... In other words, if you could... It's like this. Something may be being done wrong, but if it be interpreted in a proper way, it will be. And you yourself could be doing things properly, but if it could also be seen in a different light, it'll be interpreted like that. Does that make sense? That's how the devotees work. Right? Materialist is just the opposite.
Can you just repeat that?
Can I repeat that?
Don't worry.
You'd have to find it. It's there by a thread, but it's already moved on.
I'll listen to you.
Okay. Yeah, it means everyone but himself appears to be engaged in Krishna service. So he sees everyone else is connected to Krishna, he sees himself not. Because activities that you're doing, remember the secondary activities can be used in Krishna service or not in Krishna service. Right? So the same activity being performed, then the pure devotee sees that they're engaged in Krishna's service, but he'll see himself as not engaged, even though it's the same action. Because otherwise you say, well, they're engaged in Krishna's service, why don't they see themselves engaged? Because what you're engaging is secondary. So because secondary can be used for other things, they'll interpret that my own motive is not pure. Because it's not the activity that makes the service, it's what you're doing with it.
An application of the half-empty, half-full
principle. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, for themselves to see the glass is half-empty, and for everyone else to see it is half-full. Like that, you know, so that's the way it works. You know, it's just like, you know, Thunderbolt and Rose, you know, you're very strict and exact with others and all that, and don't tolerate any nonsense, but with yourself, you're gentle as a rose and very accommodating and willing to accept that, you know, mistakes can be made. Okay. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj is the approved Mahabhagavat, the supreme devotee. So when you want to know Mahabhagavat, he's the approved Mahabhagavat. So that works out nice. In the previous verse, it was stated that he had natural attachment. Naishargiki Ratihi. The symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. Although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, he had no interest in playing. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, Viraktir Anyatra Cha. The symptom of perfect Krishna consciousness is that one loses interest in all material activities. For a small boy to give up playing is impossible. But Prahlad Maharaj, being situated in first-class devotional service, was always absorbed in a trance of Krishna consciousness, just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in thoughts of material gain. A Mahabhagavata, like Prahlad Maharaj, is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Right? Because the impetus is the same. The difference is that for the materialist, when he sees something that's connected to the senses, he sees sense gratification. While the devotee sees opportunities of senses connected to the sense objects, he sees service to Krishna. right? Because he wants to connect those sense objects to Krishna's senses, while the materialist wants to connect these sense objects to their own senses. Does that make sense? That's why, because otherwise we're saying, you know, how's the mind about, what are they seeing? I only see the material world, because we see everything connected to ourselves and our sense gratification. But they just see the same thing, and how, you know, here's the bush, oh, nice flowers for Krishna, and here's the hall, okay, nice service for Krishna, and there's that's all they see. But we'll see things, you know, according to our conditioning. That'll be the difference. Yes?
Can we say that the first class devotee, he sees everything connected. Then Madhyama, he makes an effort, and then he connects.
Yes.
And then Kanishka, he cannot connect.
Yeah, he generally doesn't. If he has that faith, he'll be nice and, you know, develop nicely. If the faith is weak, then they'll have problems. That's why it's not recommended to be on the neophyte platform. Because the Madhyama then, there may be instances where it's not connected, but they can by using the, you know, processes given to us by Shankya and the Gita and all these different things. You know, with time that becomes a habit. So up to the point of taste, those processes are quite important. Once one has taste, then one's generally more absorbed in that. So if there's anything outside those direct activities, then they'll apply that. You know. So does that work? Yeah. Yes.
Previously we said that we can get face by association. That's the most important in sadhusanga.
Yes.
Can we also get taste in the same way?
Yes. If you're with those people who have taste, why won't you? Because where do you get taste? How do you get taste?
From doing something.
From doing something. Okay. But the particular, many people are doing the same thing. Some like it, some don't. What generally makes the distinction? In other words, you associate with persons who have taste for that activity, you also then are aware of it. So then you can appreciate it. Someone who doesn't, they don't appreciate it, so they can't see what good is there. You know what I'm saying? So that, let's say, you know, two people go into the, you know, to the opera. So one is appreciating the technical points and how well it is and how nicely it's arranged and, you know, the beauty. The other person just thinks, what is all this? It's boring. Right? Because they can't appreciate what's there. Then they go out, you know, and then, you know, they're, you know, he gets a ride with this other guy that has some fancy souped up car that he's really put a lot of effort into. So the guy's in the office, what's the big deal about this noisy car? But he can't appreciate the technical things that went into it that made it what it is, and so it's not actually just something ordinary. You understand? So both of, by not appreciating what's there, you can't, it means not understanding, you don't appreciate. So if you're doing activities with someone who appreciates that thing, then they'll pay attention to the detail, you'll pick that up, and then it, and so then you'll start to appreciate. Right? So, on the material platform means you're following nicely the laws of nature, so therefore then you can get appreciation because you're following the laws. Doing devotional service because you're pleasing Krishna, therefore you get a taste. Right? So that's why it's beyond the modes. The other is getting a taste because of the modes. The devotees are getting a taste because of Krishna's pleasure. So once one gets to that point, it becomes more spontaneous. So only something that's outside of taste may require that technical point. But because they're preachers and they've gone through that, even though they may be functioning on taste in that area, if someone else has a question, they can answer it according to the technical. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then it works. Works nice. Yeah. Narad Muni continued. Glad Maharaj was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Thus, being always embraced by the Lord, did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. Because then Krishna arranges just material energy, takes care. You know, like the mother takes care of the child's actually not really aware of what's going on. Right? But it happens anyway. Right? So, the same way, it's just because of their absorption in Krishna, then the material nature just takes care of them. And so then everything works for them. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada comments, a small child, while being cared for by his mother, does not know how the needs of the body are for eating, sleeping, lying down, passing water in the backyard are being fulfilled. He is simply satisfied to be on the lap of his mother. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was exactly like a small child, being cared for by Govinda. The necessary activities of the body were performed without his knowledge. As a father and mother care for their child, Govinda cared for Prahlad Maharaj, who remained always absorbed in thoughts of Govinda. This is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of perfection in Krishna consciousness, right? So Narada Muni is pointing out before that he's the example. Because all the different aspects that you want to say is this is what you should do in devotional service, then Prahlad Maharaj is doing. He's totally absorbed in Krishna, everything gets taken care of. We'll think, oh, if I become Krishna conscious, how it will take care of? No, it'll happen. You don't have to worry. The problem, the worry may come up is, I won't be that absorbed. You know, that's the thing. But to be Krishna conscious, then Krishna takes care. Okay. Yes?
Maharaj, are you saying that the child?
It means it's the principle of that. It's not that we sit around and, you know, start talking baby talk or something. Can't walk properly and fall over, you see. The principle is that Krishna takes care, so we're just absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna takes. He's only talking about that aspect. It's not that he was like a little child and Krishna is sitting there and patting him on his head, and you know. Does that make sense? It's the principle that the child is just happy being with the parents, and the parents are taking care of everything else. Does that make sense? So it's that primary aspect. Don't get into the secondary, you know. Go out and buy yourself some diapers. No, don't do that. Right? That's there, but the principle is being absorbed in Krishna. See, that's the first stage of bhava bhakti, is understanding the mood, being absorbed in the mood. Then after that, so that's the generic mood. Then there's a specific for the particular individual. The mood of braja is one mood. Then there's within that, there's the five rasas. Just like in Vaikuntha, there's a particular mood. Then within that, there's two rasas. You know, or Dwarka, there's a particular mood. Then within that, there's five rasas. You understand? So it's the generic is the first thing. So point is I'm servant of Krishna. I'm always absorbed in Krishna. So I'm not worried about if I'll be taken care of. I just perform my duties properly. And from that, whatever comes. Does that make sense? That doesn't mean you're not, let's say, taking a bath or doing these things. It means that those are part of your duties to serve Krishna. Does that make sense? You just do your duties, what results come. The devotee, he has a business, he does his business, but what results will come from that is up to Krishna. But because the business is for Krishna, he does his best at the business. But what results come, that he can't say. He could be doing really well, nothing's coming. He can be doing okay and amazing comes. You know what I'm saying? How many kids sit around in a garage and do something stupid?
Many.
Many. How many kids become very rich and famous from that?
Not many.
Not many. Very few, yeah. You know? Is that it? How did I use that in this example?
Worry about doing the duty.
Oh, yeah. So the point is all of them are just doing their duties. And then somebody gets amazing result, and some of them just, you know, from inside the kitchen, their mom starts yelling. Does that make sense? Okay. Narad Muni continued. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. 39. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Just as the child, not seeing his, the mother, cries when the mother puts him down on the ground to do household chores, Prahlad Maharaj, not seeing the Lord, would think, "Where has my Lord gone, giving me up?" Thinking in that way, his mind became troubled, and he would cry. When the Lord would appear again, the Lord would say, "O Prahlad, child, why are you crying? Just by not seeing me for a moment." Then Prahlad would laugh like a happy child seeing his mother who would embrace him after a long time. He would think, "My Lord makes me happy by showing himself to me by his mercy." Thinking in this way, he would be joyful. Narad Muni continued. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy, and sometimes being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. 40. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. When Prahlad would see the Lord suddenly appear at a great distance with intensified longing, the Lord would cry out, "O Prahlad, dear child, without seeing you, I get no satisfaction, since you alone are most dear to me." When the Lord would say this, Prahlad in great bliss would become confused and dance without shame. Then when the Lord disappeared out of great pain and separation, he would lose himself in deep thoughts of the Lord, and identifying himself as the Lord out of the strength of the Vyabhichari Bhava of Unmada, madness, he would imitate the pastimes of Rama and Krishna, which they displayed when they appeared in this world. And so another, he was just being absorbed in the Lord, and therefore perform all the activities, you know, acting out what Krishna would do or what Rama would do like that. You understand? But that's coming from a Sanchari Bhava of madness. So it's still coming from, you know, it's the reaction to the, you know, a continuous of the Anubhavas, or the results that come, you know, of the mind from the Vibhava of the Lord. So then when the Lord's there, he gets a reaction. And when the Lord's not there, there's a different kind of reaction, and that then gives the Sanchari Bhavas and other Bhavas can manifest. Right? So in this case, then, Unmada, or madness, and so then he acts out. We see the gopis did the same thing when Krishna left the Rasa dance. Right? Yes? I'm not sure. I think he is Shanta. You remember? No. Yeah, I don't remember. But it would be Shanta Maximum Dasya. So I think he meditates most of the time. I think that's his service.
He's
meditating.
The example of remember.
Yeah, he's the example of remember. So I think that's his main thing. That's why when who comes to him? I think Narad Muni. And he says, "Oh, I am only remembering the Lord, but hey, Hanuman, he's with the Lord."
Yeah.
Right? So that's, you know, his, how he sees, but that's what he does. That's his service, and that's his greatness.
It says here that he imitates on the intimate pastimes of Rama and Krishna. And sometimes we think that he would only meditate on Lord Nrisimhadev as he is Ishtadev.
No. He meditates on Krishna. But Krishna, to kill Hiranyakashipu, but to keep Brahma's... So it means he said, despite Brahma's promise, he's going to kill him. So that doesn't mean that he's going to go against Brahma's promise or benediction. It just means that he's given him the benediction, so then Hiranyakashipu thinks, "I'll be eternal." But besides that benediction, despite that, he will kill him. But he'll keep that his boon intact, right? Out of respect for him as the, you know, authority. You know, otherwise then he's just kind of doing his own and he's breaking the rule. Right? So that's the principle. If you're in a higher position, the one below you, and you've given them charge to do something, they do it, you don't contradict that in how you do it. You use your influence to get the job done without disturbing theirs. Because mm-hmm. Right? It'll be said, oh, but it's for the higher cause, but then they lose their inspiration.
You have to be able to synthesize.
Hmm?
You have to be able to synthesize.
Yeah, yeah. So it means if you are better, then how are you better? Just you got more of a callus on your backside, so you can sit longer, or what? You know, and it's just, you know, what makes it that you're special? Yes.
So is Ishtadevata is Vasudeva Krishna?
Seems to be Vasudeva Krishna, or here it always mentions Krishna, so it can be that. Yes, it could be Vasudeva Krishna, Krishna Dwarka, or that. It doesn't seem to mention that it's Braj. But the point is it's Krishna. So now whether we're just saying Krishna because it's Krishna who's doing all these different things, and then he appreciates at the particular level. Like Narad Muni is always talking about Krishna. But the point is he worships him as a devotee from Vaikuntha. Like that. But the point is it's that particular form of Krishna that he appreciates. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So for the gopis, then it's one form. You know, for Mother Jashoda, it's another form. For the cowherd boys, it's different. So technically, then the devotees are all worshipping Krishna. All Vaishnavas are worshipping Krishna. Some acknowledge it, some don't. But the point is what taste in which particular facet of Krishna is what you're interested in. That then defines them, what kind of Vaishnava they are. So are they Vaishnava, are they Karshna, or are they Gaudiya? That's depending upon what kind of form. And then within that, then you'll have detail. Does that make sense? So it appears that as one of the points that is made by, I think it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was making, that after seeing the Shingadev, then maybe he'll be meditating on him and worshipping him in that form, but he's worshipping Krishna in that form. So Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa, that kind of, like that. But he is, you know, a Vaikuntha Walla. Right? He's in Vaikuntha. So there, then he won't have that Nisringa form. He'll have the four-armed form. Because the 24 Vishnus, so Nisringa, so he'll be on that planet. Along with Hiranyakashipu as a devotee. He'll still look like a demon, but, you know, he's there as a devotee. Does that make sense? Because these forms, like that, they're only here. So Varaha's planet in the spiritual world, he'll have the four-armed form of Vishnu. But when he comes here, then he'll look like a boar. Like that. So, okay. Yes.
Also, when they threw him off the cliff, he fell down, and the Lord manifested his form of Varaha Nrisimha.
Yes.
By the request of Prahlada Maharshi, because Prahlada Maharshi could figure out that Hiranyakashipu will be killed in due course of time when he asked the Lord, and he said, "You killed my uncle, and you will kill my father." And then the Lord manifested Varaha Nrisimha. So it means that
okay, well that's nice, but the point is here Narad Muni's always doing, so that's why these different ones are given. Mm-hmm. So you can look at it from these three perspectives, like that. Does that make sense? It means he's always been a devotee of, absorbed in the Sringadev. He became absorbed in the Sringadev after, or, you know, whatever is the position. The point is the absorption in Krishna.
Yeah. There's also, like, I heard from the book of Bhagavinda Maharaj that Nrisimhadev manifested his form of Nrisimhadev to taste the rasa of Vatsalya. But we hear that Prahlada Maharaj, he was a Shanta rasa or Dasya rasa. Interesting that...
Like, no, but all these examples about Prahlada and all that, then the Lord, how is he dealing with him?
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay attention. See, in other words, you have to go more than just what's on the vibe, and then what things are connected to the vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In a general conversation, if you're just sitting with somebody, then that works really well. Does that make sense? You know, someone says, yeah, you know, like that. And I'm like, you know, today I'm so happy. And then you think about happiness. Says, yeah, yeah, and last year when I was in Vrindavan, it was such a nice time and all that. And, you know, we were there and all that. And it was really far out. One day we're down at the market, and then, you know, there was just funny things to eat and all that. And it looked really weird. And then he says, yeah, yeah, you know, it's like that. You know, all this Indian food makes my stomach all funny and this and that and all that. And when I get diarrhea, I really feel bad. And, yeah, no, I felt bad the other day, too. And, you know, it works great when you're in that kind of thing. But don't use it here. You know what I'm saying? Stick to the actual points that are being made and then connect them back to the emotional things that are being felt. But don't let the thread go on that emotion. Otherwise, then it works for you, but nobody else here will catch what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to...
Yes, but the whole support. But the whole point is how many examples have been given here as Prahlad as a child and the Lord taking care as a parent?
No, you were just saying about the.
How many have been like that?
Towards,
were there any like that? It's just it's not a trick question. It's yes or no. Were there verses here that it was saying that Prahlad was not worried about it and the Lord was taking care, and the Acharyas aren't saying anything? We haven't discussed that? We've discussed it. Okay. So therefore, him coming, tasting the taste of parental rasa, if that's what the Acharyas are saying, fine. But it doesn't mean that he's, Prahlad's in the rasa of parental relationship with Nrisimhadev. The Lord's tasting that, but... You know what I'm saying? Lord Chaitanya is tasting the relationship of Radharani with him. But is anybody else tasting that?
No.
No. What's our relationship with Lord Chaitanya? What rasa? Servitorship. That's the way it is. We don't have a different rasa. He's tasting all kinds of things. You understand? So the point, the Lord comes to taste that. But why would there be why you get confused? Because here he's taking care of Prahlad in that way because he's so surrendered anyway.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to see here. You have to see those things. Otherwise, you bring in too many things, you'll get confused. Because you're using these moods rather than looking at it analytically. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Then it'll work better for you. Okay?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jainatai Gaurav Premanati.